One. State Department is having trouble issuing them with delays of weeks, maybe months. Louisiana's John Kennedy, among many senators whose phones are constantly ringing with complaints.
I've got one or two staffers who do nothing all day except for doing the job that the State Department's supposed to do.
Turning to the nation's heat, and there is plenty of it, correspondent Christian Benavides is now tracking the waters.
In the upper Florida Keys, water temperatures hit 101.1 degrees. If confirmed, it could be the highest sea surface temperature ever recorded. Researchers are worried about the damage to the fragile coral reefs.
Most importantly, in South Florida, we lose that protection, that barrier from hurricanes.
A legendary and very controversial singer has died, Sinead O'Connor. She used her fame to focus a light on social issues, sometimes drawing serious criticism, once for tearing up a picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live.
Sinead O'Connor was in the spotlight for more than 30 years, becoming a superstar in her mid-20s.
She was a great talent.
Rolling Stone contributor Anthony DeCurtis knew she'd be a hit back in the late 1980s.
I reviewed her first album, The Lion and the Cobra, in Rolling Stone, and I announced her as a major talent.
He says she never really took superstardom well.
You know, she struggled for so long, and now the bad news came. It was a combination of sadness and resignation, I suppose, and of course, regret.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
Checking gasoline prices. With all the summer driving, AAA's national average for a gallon of regular up about a dime in the last week to $3.69. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Three little words no parent wants to hear.
My tummy hurts.
And it always seems to happen at the worst times. Like in the middle of the morning rush, when you still have homework to check and lunches to pack, and of course, you're already late for work. Luckily, there's Pepto-Kids. New Pepto-Kids gummies helps relieve occasional stomach upsets, turning those three words into these three words.
I feel better.
Bad time for stomach upsets? Good time for new Pepto-Kids gummies. Fast support for little tummies.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 65. Overnight, under mainly clear skies, southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 94. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Mainly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 66. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 66.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates. Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We got Jane Madden on the board. It is Wednesday, so Greg Bach, trash icon, is here.
That's right. I'm a trash icon.
And we are so happy that you are here and that you are listening. Coming up in this hour, we are going to switch gears at the bottom of the hour and talk about EAA.
Yes.
The 600,000 people that have descended upon Oshkosh.
And surrounding areas.
And the surrounding areas.
I always thought it was pronounced,
the Experimental Aircraft Association is celebrating its 70th anniversary this year. I have never attended. We have civic media folks on the ground up there, so we will talk about that. Coming up at 11:30, and then we're going to get to Who's at the Laughing Tap this weekend at the end of the show.
I want to do a little local plug, too. If you are in downtown Waukesha or around downtown Waukesha, River Rhythms kicks off at noon, and our own Johnny Watermelon will be down there. And singer-songwriter Caitlin Pico is performing today, along with some of her music students.
She's got a song called Try That in a Mid-Sized Town.
So go support Caitlin and her music students and the wonderful River Rhythms in downtown
Waukesha.
And
it looks like the rain is holding off.
We got a little bit.
I see some blue skies over yonder here, so you never know.
We'll see what happens.
But this half hour, I came across this story on Monday, and it kind of just struck me as feeling like, well, that's not really, like, what did you do? I feel like this is just disrespectful versus actually standing up for a cause that you believe in. And so the question that I have for you, and would love to get your thoughts on, is what is good trouble? You know, what is activism? What is causing a ruckus or a, you know, being antagonistic for a good purpose, for a good end goal, versus just being disrespectful and getting into trouble? 844-967-2789. And so the situation that sparked that question for me is there is a band called the 1975, which is a British band, a British pop rock band. I don't know their music super well. I'm sure there's some songs that if I heard, I'm like, oh, that's them. Okay. What I do know is that their lead singer is kind of problematic. He's like said some off-color things in the past.
He's a dipwad.
Greg thinks he's a dipwad. He was dating Taylor Swift for like a hot second, and a lot of people had feelings and thoughts about her dating him. They're no longer dating. But the band was playing in Malaysia and has since canceled their upcoming concerts in Indonesia and Taiwan. Basically, because lead singer Matty Healy attacked Malaysia's anti-LGBT laws last Friday, and he kissed the bass player, Ross McDonald, on stage, and then the band was swiftly banned from playing in the country. Because in Malaysia, homosexuality is illegal, and it's punishable by 20 years in prison. And it's shunned but not illegal in most of Muslim-majority Indonesia. And the band has said that it has canceled its Indonesia and Taiwan gigs due to current circumstances without elaborating. And so basically, to sum it up, is like he, on stage, talked about how he thinks these laws are archaic and I don't see the effing point, right? I do not see the point of inviting the 1975 to a country and then telling us who we can have sex with. And then kissed his bandmate. And you know, I think it's anyone who listens to the show is pretty clear where I stand on everything LGBTQ in this country and people's rights and people's humanity.
Yeah.
And it also feels like when you are a guest in someone else's country, you cannot agree with it, but to like kiss your bandmate and to object like so blatantly, I don't know.
Well, if they were that offended by these policies in Indonesia, why did they accept the money?
Why did
to
they go in
there?
The first place?
Money. Yeah.
And so that, and like, are you actually helping by like descending onto a country, making a spectacle, calling it activism, and then leaving? I say no. Like, I think, you know, I think about if I were, and granted, I'm not like a famous person that would, this would cause any attention, but like if I were to ever, and I haven't, but if I were to ever go to a country where women are required to have their head covered, I would cover my head. Like, I would not show up and say, I think this is archaic. I think this is a stupid rule and I'm not doing it. One, because I would probably end up somewhere I didn't want to be.
Yes.
But also be out of respect for a culture that you are entering into. And like, is this the time and place? And is it even effective to make a stand in that way? And so I think both in that scenario, that hypothetical, but also in this real scenario, like they were in the wrong. Like, I don't think they did anything. Greg, what say you?
Well, if you listen to the show, you know where I stand as well as an identifying queer man. This was nothing to me. Like, this was one, I mean, that man is, in my opinion, trash. But I think he did it more for attention. I don't doubt that they are pro-queer. I don't doubt that they think those rules are stupid as they are. But it's, to me, it's just the, it's a petulant boy who seeks attention, who there would be no real consequences for his action. And he did what he did, and that was it. And yeah. And then he canceled the whole tour, which, by the way, probably lost them money and their record label and management, not happy about that either. Mm-hmm. And like, there are consequences of those actions, but like at the end of the day, that's not activism. And we were talking about this before the show started. I think activism is organizing, is about empowering, is about moving yourself and people towards a goal with a real agenda. This was just nothing.
Complaining.
It was less than complaining. It was nothing, because it's easy to stand on a stage as a rock star and spit in the face of the government
you don't live in.
Because at the end of the day,
You get to leave,
mm-hmm. and the people who are there, especially the queer people who are there, who knows what this is going to set off for the very, very conservative people who run that country, who say, oh, well, you know what? Bands like this are coming. We got to crack down even harder. Mm-hmm. He doesn't think about those actions. He doesn't think anything about it because he doesn't care. He doesn't have to. There's sort of a correlation between this and the Jason Aldean thing, in the sense that like, you have these people who live in a bubble, who live their lives, and their consequences they don't have to realize, and they get to just keep living their lives while everyone else
spins around it.
And there are going to be people who are hurt. Well, I shouldn't say they're going to be. There could be people who are hurt. So I think what he did was stupid and possibly harmful. Who knows? And I don't know. This, like, and by the way, my dislike for Matty Healy and his shenanigans has nothing to do with it. If this was Bono, I'd be like, you're a dude who does activism your entire life. This was stupid. But Bono is an activist. He wouldn't do something like this. He'd go to the government, knock on the door, be like, hey, can we talk about your stupid rules? No, I'm okay. I'm going to go play my concert. Bye.
Yeah. And I think, because I don't want to get too caught up in, because Matty Healy being he already is kind of problematic and whatever. But like, I think it brings up a bigger issue of, and even if things that apply to locally, of like the discernible, what is the discernible line between good for you for like speaking up, for, you know, causing good trouble, for, and like, you know, because obviously some people are always going to say, sit down, keep your mouth shut, we don't like what you're saying. But then when does it cross over into being just being antagonistic and disrespectful?
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Susan from Madison is joining us from the car. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Thank you for taking me on your show today. I was just wanted to make a comment that I understand people get a lot of emotion behind all the activism that goes on in the world. But I think if you lead with your heart and really try to change people's hearts, it works better because everyone is able to have a clear head about it, and you're not shoving something down someone's throat who then will resist whatever you say. So I think talking softly and carrying a big stick sometimes is probably the better way to go. And I thought it was very, now that I hear this story, it's rather offensive that they were unable to try to get the point across another way.
So what in that analogy of speaking softly and carrying a big stick, can you think of an example of someone who does that well, or where like that really worked?
Well, I think Martin Luther King Jr. did that. I mean, his big stick was his voice and the people behind him. And I think he spoke of love, about loving everyone and about the children. He spoke of a lot of things. So I think if we can collectively rally around the people who are affected, particularly in this instance, it's the LGBTQ folks and people in our families who are identifying like that, and just really understanding that we love them. And love is something that we can all understand. People, you know, we all can understand love. And I think Martin Luther King Jr. did that by his big stick, as I said, was all the influence that he had, the people behind him, his voice. And those are the kinds of things that we can use to make people change. And the other thing is having people understand that it's not about anything except love. If you love people, it doesn't go away just because you don't agree with something about that person. And, you know, I feel really strongly that love is one of the most important things.
Love is all you need, Suzanne, right? As the lyrics go. We're coming up against a break, so sorry to cut you short, but thank you so much for the call. We're asking the question, what's the line between good trouble and just being disrespectful? 844-967-2789. We have a short break, and we'll be right back.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
No attorneys to plead my case. No OBS to send me in and out of space. At my fingers, I'll be jeweled with diamonds and gold. But that ain't gonna help me now. I'm in trouble, yeah, trouble now. I'm trouble.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Trash Icon Bonk. I'm
just That's keep right.
calling you that. And we are asking the question, what is good trouble versus what is just being disrespectful? And obviously, this is a very subjective question that we are trying to get your thoughts on. And we have Scott from Chicago on the phone. Scott, what's the difference between good trouble and just being disrespectful?
Good morning. Well, more to the when is it activism and when is it
antagonism?
I feel like there's, so I am an activist.
Okay.
And one of the big things that I feel like makes the big distinguishing factor is, are you there to actually make a long-term difference, or are you there to cause a splash and dash? Like, are you there investing the time, investing the effort, investing in the community that's actually making a difference? Or are you there to cause a headline?
And in this scenario, the one that we're talking about with the 1975,
yeah,
it'd probably be the latter.
Yeah, because, like, what did they actually do? Did they do anything for the community to make a difference, or did they make a headline and leave? And what they really did was make a headline and leave. What did they tangibly do?
And as Greg said, too, Scott, they might have made things worse for the people who live there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really good distinction.
Yeah, I think back to the... Sorry?
I said that's a, it's a good distinction as far as, like, what is the purpose of the... Because wouldn't some people say that by bringing attention to an issue, that is a good thing? Or is that not always... Is that not a blanket statement?
It's definitely not a blanket statement. And I can actually use this in my own field because I'm an anti-human trafficking activist.
Okay.
And for the movie Sound of Freedom, you hear thoughts on both sides. But from an activist point of view, I like the movie for raising awareness about trafficking, but it doesn't give any action steps for anyone to get involved.
Yep. Besides, so go see the movie.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's like at the end of the movie, it says, invite your friends to go see it. It's like, and then what? I mean, I specifically brought my friends with me and then went to have a conversation with them afterwards. Like, what can we do now? It's like, okay, great, you're making headlines, but then what?
Well, that's the thing, too, is with that movie is the basic tenet of the movie is being lost in all of the controversy around the other people, pulling focus from the point of the film itself.
Definitely.
Which does damage Definitely. For the cause.
Well, and also, who's doing the real work? I mean, this is, Scott, we probably have to have you back to talk about Sound of Freedom, because that's a whole other thing that I have been diving deep on as far as the controversy around the movie, what is real work when it comes to anti-trafficking for people who've been knowing that this is a huge problem and not just aware of it now. So call back when we talk about that topic. But thank you so much for calling right now, Scott.
844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY if you want to call and or text. We have Ron on the line from Milwaukee. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. I can think of a few recent historical examples of good ways of getting into good trouble in this fashion. One was Marlon Brando sending Sasheen Littlefeather in his place to accept his Oscar so she could talk about Native American rights, and it made everybody uncomfortable, and there was a big uproar and a backlash over it. But you know what? Hollywood started in being more inclusive, including Native American people in films and not just in a, you know, we're going to shoot you because you're a savage. Also, the NFL players who took a knee during the national anthem, and the Black Olympians years back, I think it was 68, raised their fists when they accepted their medals. No doubt this caused, you know, the backlash. There was some blowback and negativity there, but it did raise consciousness and people were talking about it. And I mean, I'm with you guys. The people who do the work, the ground pounders, the activists who go door to door and make phone calls and struggle with Congress people, those are the heroes. But it isn't bad once in a while for somebody to make a fuss. And I think John Lewis would agree with that.
No, and I agree. And I think the examples you put, but I also feel like there, especially the, I don't know what backlash Marlon Brando got, because that's a little before my time, but what I do know about the 1968 Olympians, and what was the other one that you listed?
Taking a knee.
You know, Colin Kaepernick paid a big price for sticking to that, right? So, like, I do think there's skin in the game, right? Like, you are standing up, and there is ultimately a price that you were willing to pay by losing your job, by losing money, by actually having people, you know, death threats and stuff like that, and that you continue to make a stand. And also, but it's also, I don't know, because there's something about the fact this case of the 1975, of the fact that it's a different country that they don't live in, that they never have to go back to, and they don't have to, like, deal with it, feels different.
Yeah, it's not activism. It's just making a spectacle.
Thanks so much for the call, Ron.
844-967-2789. Coming in from Madison, I thought Healy's move was hilarious and warranted. If you're going to have Stone Age laws, you shouldn't be allowed the economic benefits of a world tour stop. Call these people out. and you could speak out, but going there and showing them is much more powerful.
Yeah, I honestly, with both those texts, I saw them and I kind of disagree. I disagree with them because one, we're using the word hilarious. It's not hilarious. It was stupid. I personally think, was it warranted? Sure, if you want to do it, but like we've said, he had no point. He didn't make a statement the next day. He didn't go, like, this was a in the moment thing he decided to do. The concert would have happened regardless of he did it or not. And you're calling these people out, but as we've just heard from the last few callers, yes, absolutely. Call out these individuals who are problematic, who are keeping people down, messing with equity, but then do something real about it.
All right. Well, we have to move on from this topic because when we come back, Dick Kapinski, who is the director of communications for EAA, will be here, and we're going to talk about some airplanes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control. Yikes! So you're on your own with the WASPs. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 65. Overnight, under mainly clear skies, southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 94. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Mainly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 66. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 66.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach. And it is the Experimental Aircraft Association all week, the celebration of 70 years of enthusiasm for aviation. And on the phone, we are lucky to have Dick Kapinski, who is Director of Communications for EAA. Welcome to the show, Dick.
Hey, Kristen. Always nice to talk to another Rapids person. That's always good.
Oh, look at you at that. Go Wisconsin Rapids. Are you Assumption or Lincoln?
Oh, I'm Assumption. Matter of fact, I got a little story. Your grandma was my sixth grade teacher.
Oh!
Wow, what a
that
small
is amazing. Well, there you go. I'll tell Carol Bry you say hi.
Okay, please do that. Yeah, and your Aunt Sue was a classmate of mine at Assumption. So, yeah, it goes back a ways.
There's deep roots here,
deep
folks.
Deep roots.
Deep roots.
That is amazing.
Yeah, Kristen and I will just talk now, and we'll just...
Yeah, we'll talk about rapids.
I'm going to go for a coffee break. I'll see you guys.
Yeah, I'll be back later. Yeah.
Well, so I have to be totally honest. Until I moved back a couple years ago, I did not know what EAA was, what a big deal it is, how many people show up for it. And I had the chance to drive by the grounds because I was driving back to Milwaukee from up north this weekend and just saw the legions of trailers on the grounds. And so for people who were like me and maybe somehow have lived under a rock and don't know what EAA is, what is it, Dick?
Well, EAA, it's the organization based in Oshkosh, the Experimental Aircraft Association. We've got 270,000 members in about 105 countries, and we're people who like flying for fun, flying for recreation. And what we have every year is our convention, and we invite the public to it, EAA Air Venture Oshkosh, and we get about 600,000 of our closest friends and about 10,000 to 12,000 airplanes that land in the Oshkosh area for that week. And we also create the second biggest city in Winnebago County for 1 week, as 40,000 of those people camp right here on the grounds.
That, yeah, and that's what I saw, which is it's almost like Burning Man. It's just that you wrecked a city for a couple days. And so what, so like we said, there's 600,000 people. What can you do once you're there? Like, it's not, are people buying planes? Or like, what are you actually doing once you're there?
Oh, there's a lot to do. And yes, there are some people who buy airplanes. I have seen people write $500,000 deposit checks on big corporate jets when they've been here. Now, that's not most people. I tell people that you can buy an airplane T-shirt, then go next door and buy the airplane to match the T-shirt if you'd like. And so what we have, though, first of all, 9 air shows in 7 days. 7 afternoon air shows, 2 night air shows, including one tonight. We have more than 800 exhibitors. We've got a lot of stuff for the kids, lots of hands-on things that they can come in here because kids are admitted free here. We have 1,000 forums and workshops. People learn how to weld and fabric cover if they're building their own airplane. They learn how to take care of their airplane properly. They learn what it's like to fly the space shuttle from a space shuttle astronaut who happens to be here. And we have airplanes. We have everything from a little bitty ultralight to Well, right now we've got NASA's Super Guppy on the ramp, and we've got a Dreamlifter, a modified 747 from Boeing. And, yeah, there's a C-17 from the Air Force, and we're going to have a C-5 later on, and a bunch of military jets, and just about everything in between.
I just think it's such a cool opportunity, Dick, especially for, like you said, younger people who might have an interest in learning how to fly. This is a great place to take them and expose them and see if that's really something they want to pursue.
It really is. When you take a look at it, we can engage them in the world of flight at their level. And even for adults on the grounds, we have a Learn to Fly Center, and people can actually sign up and get an hour on a simulator that can be officially logged in an FAA logbook. And so now you have taken that first step. And so you're with a flight instructor inside the simulator, and they take you through the rudimentary steps of that. And it's just, I like to call it aviation's family reunion, because it really is. There are people from more than 90 countries that come to this event every single year. Some of them fly their own airplanes, whether it's from Canada or France or Brazil. They bring their airplanes here. And so we have about 5,000 airplanes right now on the airport in Oshkosh. And as I said, we'll have 10 to 12,000 come to this area during the course of the week.
We're talking to Dick Kopinski, who is the Director of Communications for the Experimental Aircraft Association, which their big celebration is happening all week up in Oshkosh. Greg, you had a question?
Well, a couple of things. One, so I'm running the morning show, Meinl and the Mayor, from 6 to 8, and they've been there a couple of days here. And mm-hmm. you're not just talking about your love of planes, but also about the future of where aviation's going. They were talking to a gentleman who's working on a product that would be like small, tiny personal aircrafts that are like that run on, like, I think, a lithium ion batteries. Like, you're talking about the future of aviation as well, not just what we're doing in the past. It's about where we're going next.
That's part of it, indeed. There are a couple of companies here. I think you're talking about Opener, which brought its Blackfly. 8 small electric motors. It's a one-person flying aircraft. Can go about 60 miles on a charge, can fly at 40, 50 miles an hour. So if you get sick of, you know, the interstate traffic, well, here's a way to get to work. There's also one called WISC about urban air mobility. Boeing is involved in this one. And it's a four-person autonomous electric vehicle. It flew here yesterday during the air show. And what they're thinking about, this would be part of an air taxi service. You hop in, the GPS is set, it takes you off to where you want to go, and you arrive there instead of fighting your way through traffic. So those are some things that are out there right now. We've got people designing flying cars. We even have a group called Gravity that is almost like, it's not even a rocket suit. They have small jet engines they strap to their forearms, and they go flying.
They're Iron Man.
All I can think of is the Rocketeer from like the Jennifer Connelly movie back from like the early 90s. Yeah.
And the other thing, Dick,
that and Iron Man and everything else.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, so we're not quite the Jetsons yet, but well, we're getting there.
And another thing they talked about too was the fact that like the need for young people to be involved in this, the study, the work, whether it's pilots or people working on planes, there is a need for people to, young people to see this and maybe spark interest to go to school to learn how to do these things.
There's such an opportunity right now for young people, and we probably have 24 universities from throughout the nation that have aviation programs, either on the pilot side or the engineering and mechanical side. And right now there's such a crying need. Anybody who's, well, had a flight canceled or delayed because of a lack of pilots over the past year can probably understand.
Yeah.
The airlines are looking for pilots. They're here recruiting. They have Big Tents, Delta, and Southwest, and American. They are all here looking for people because they know it's a target-rich environment for aviators to come in and be part of their program. And so in the last couple of years, they've been showing up here and bringing big airliners as well and being part of this celebration.
Dick, considering you guys had very, very humble beginnings, I mean, you certainly didn't have 600,000 people showing up at the first one 75 years ago. When did it really cut through, do you think? And when did the EAA really become a thing?
Yeah, you're right. It started off, first year was in Milwaukee at what's now Timmerman back in 1953. They had 21 airplanes and 150 people, and they had everybody had dinner in the Miller Brewing Company hangar on Saturday night. Well, we can't do that anymore.
Wow.
But we have But it really became a thing, I would say a world-level event, probably in the mid-80s, the first time that Concorde landed here in Oshkosh. Before that, it had landed in only, the supersonic jetliner had landed in only three American cities, New York, Washington, D.C., and I believe Miami or Dallas. And Oshkosh was the fourth American city that the Concorde landed on. And everybody's going, Oshkosh, why
yeah.
Oshkosh?
Well, was there even a runway big enough for that thing?
There is. Yeah, we've got an 8,000-foot runway and a 5,700-foot runway. So a matter of fact, we even have dots on the runway because it's so long, we can land two small airplanes on the runway at the same time, one at the end and one in the middle. So you get all the air traffic controllers bringing them in. But that is something we will have airplanes at an average, not the peak time, just the average, landing every 10 to 12 seconds here at Oshkosh.
Wow.
Wow. That is, I can't imagine what a sight that is to be able to see
and,
that.
And to think about those air traffic controllers going.
Yeah. Talk about ice well, cold, in your, like ice water in your veins.
I mean, well, just talking to you is making me excited for this. This is awesome. What was that, Dick?
Yeah, it's an all-star crew. It's an all-star crew. Actually, the air traffic controllers put their names in that they want to work Oshkosh. The supervisors pick them from throughout the country. So we have an all-star crew of air traffic controllers, some 60 of them. Eight of them work in the tower at the time, and they help coordinate everything coming in. And we do become the world's busiest airport for 1 week a year.
And, I mean, this is just so good for Oshkosh and the surrounding area. Like, do you have numbers as far as like what the economic impact is for this every year?
Yeah. It's UW Oshkosh did a survey, an independent survey, 4 or 5 years ago, and they determined just in the Fox Valley, the five counties of the Fox Valley, it's $170 million a year of economic impact. Now, to put that in some kind of perspective, the Ryder Cup and the PGA Golf Championship, when they came here, it was about $120 million of economic impact. Packer games are about $15 million per game, so 10 games during a season, about $150 million. So Air Venture means $170 million for the Fox Valley and maybe $200 million for the state of Wisconsin 1 week every single year.
Wow.
And more than 70% of the people that come to this event are outside Wisconsin. Yeah. So we're not just exchanging money with one another.
That is monumental. So then my last question, I don't know if you guys have more
questions. I have one last question. That's
But is, I mean, this is not just like small, like, you know, individuals. Like NASA unveiled some stuff this week, right?
Yeah, they were talking about their new electric-powered airplane and working with Boeing and working with airlines about what they're looking at as far as aeronautics in the future. And they are here in a big way. On Monday night, we had people from the Artemis space program here. We had Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke here talking about what it was like being on the moon and what they're hoping in the future moon missions might be like. So they are here talking with aeronautics, and they're doing a little recruiting for engineers here as well. So they're looking at this and going, this is a place we want to be when we want to talk about things that fly.
So, Dick, okay, my question for you is this. Let's take the Concorde out of the equation because we just talked about it. For you, or maybe what, as far as your group goes, what would be like the biggest memory, the big plane that landed where you're like, you know, it showed up, you're like, I can't believe it's here right now.
Life made.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, probably one of my favorites had to be one of two, either Spaceship One, the first successful civilian spacecraft. It was on its way to the Smithsonian, and the designer said, I'm not giving it to the Smithsonian unless it lands at my organization's big festival in Oshkosh first. So 2005, that came in. And then the Airbus A380, the world's largest airliner, holds 600 people, double-decker, landed here, and it took 2 years to get them here because the French engineers, they knew the runway was long enough. They wanted to make sure it was thick enough so the airplane wouldn't crush the concrete. And they determined it was, and the airplane landed here. And that was mammoth. It was something. And so those two stand out for me.
Yeah.
How long have you worked there, Dick?
This is number 31 on staff, so either I like it or I have no transferable.
Hilarious, Dick. That's what I always say about me.
31 years. That is, you must love this so much. And I'm assuming you have your pilot's license.
I do. I've been started flying about 30 years ago, and And so, you know, I've had the license, and I managed to squeeze 3 months of flight training into 7 years because of family, house, and all of those things. But it's a great achievement. It's a great way to look at things. It's a great way to head up north and beat the traffic. And it's just a piece of freedom and responsibility that is something special.
So does that mean you land at the Wisconsin Rapids airport a fair frequently?
I have. Oh, yeah. One of my favorite ones is I've taken off from Oshkosh on a very clear day. You can see the smokestacks of the paper mill.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
You know, you've reignited my desire. Like, I've wanted.
You want to get on a plane right now?
I've wanted to get a pilot's license for a long time, and then it kind of went away. I'm like, maybe no longer. And now I'm like talking to you, Dick, and I'm like, maybe I'll do it.
That's what he's going to go this afternoon and go do it.
I'm gonna find me a plane, and it's mine.
Dick Kapinski is the Director of Communications for the Experimental Aircraft Association. This was so fun.
Yeah.
Have so much fun this week. I can't wait to go there next year because this sounds awesome.
Remote show.
Okay, well, we'll see you on the flight line. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
sounds good.
Time.
Thanks, Dick.
Thanks so much, Dick.
All right, we got one more commercial. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is coming up, who is coming up at
what
the Laughing.
Who.
What and who at the Laughing Tap, and wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away. Pack a small bag.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one, they'll be sad.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And we got a quick text from Green Bay from the 920 with some good advice. If you go to the website Flight Radar 24, you can see all the planes flying into Oshkosh from your desktop.
That is so cool.
Thank you for that little piece of advice for people who maybe can't be there in person. But I would say I am not an aviation nerd. But after that segment and talking to Dick, kind of feel like I might be.
Yeah. Yeah. He's so enthusiastic.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Obviously, you know, just loves it and is passionate about it and has been doing it all of these years. And he squished us in because
I'm sure.
I made the reach very, very late. And so we're really grateful that he was able to make some time.
It's obviously because he went to school with my aunt. I literally just texted my aunt Sue. I was like, do you remember Dick Kapinski?
Oh, that is so funny.
He squished us in.
But he did. He made time.
No, well, thank, I'm super
thank
grateful
you, Dick,
for
that.
I
appreciate that.
Super
and,
fun.
And everyone at the, yeah!
all right, Greg
yes,
Bach.
Yes.
What's happening at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. We got stuff happening, actually, you know, tonight.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff. Tonight we have the open mic,
yep.
So you want to try comedy, or if you want to just watch comics work on material, tonight. 7:30. It is free, no cover. Happy hour prices all night long on drinks. Sign up for a spot if you want. If not, just come watch, hang out, high five me. If not, elbow bump, whatever. Tomorrow, Barron Brothers Comedy Show. Sorry, sold out. Next month's show tickets will be on sale soon.
How do you guys decide when it goes on sale?
It usually goes on sale either the day. So it usually goes. It'll probably go on sale on Monday.
Okay.
Because Friday it's like whatever. But yeah, for some shows, it'll be the day after that show has happened, but most likely the pro go on sale.
All right, so if you want to see the Barron Brothers next month, check Friday and Monday.
Yep.
Just keep checking the website.
I'll let you know also next Wednesday because and then Friday and Saturday, three shows. Mr. Mike Stanley, very funny man. One show Friday, two show Saturday. 7:30 early show on Saturday, 10 o'clock late show on Saturday, and then 7:30 on Friday. Of course, tickets are available, laughingtap.com. He has been all over the country. He is a fan favorite. He is a comics comic, too. Comics love him so much. Without further ado, let's just get to the clip.
And pot's probably not the best motivator for anyone to get a job. Like, you ever heard two potheads talk about getting a job? No. Like, what would that even just... We should get jobs. What? What? That's it. That's the end of the movie. It's fine if you smoke pot, but there's one type of stoner I hate being around, and that's the person who, when they do get high, they think it makes them smarter somehow. Do you know one of these And I realize there are certain things I can't do with that friend while he's stoned anymore. Like, I can't watch movies with him anymore. Here's what happened a few weeks ago. We were watching a movie. He's smoking a joint. I'm completely sober. We're watching Return of the Jedi. And I don't want to ruin the movie for you guys. But at one point in Return of the Jedi, a spaceship explodes. And my buddy leans over and he goes, you know that would never actually happen in real life. Bro, you'd never see a fireball in space because fire needs oxygen to survive. And there's zero oxygen in space. So that would never happen. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And while we're at it, I don't think those are real Ewoks either. Pretty sure those are just dwarves dressed up as bears. I'm surprised you could see that with your glaucoma. Thanks, Bill Nye. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's Mr. Mike Stanley right there. He'll be doing three shows. It'll be a lot of fun.
I wish Ewoks were real.
Me too. I'd hold them.
I would be friends with them.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can domesticate them or not, but
no.
Definitely not pets.
No. You got to respect them.
Yes. Treat them as equals.
Exactly. Let them make the first move.
So he's Friday and Saturday?
Friday and Saturday. And then this coming Monday, the first of its kind at the Laughing Tap, our service industry night show.
Fun.
So $10. It's a showcase show. Once again, drinks are all happy hour prices. We're doing something on a Monday night, trying something out, like for our service industry friends that, you know, we're one of them as well. Come on down, see a great show with a lineup of great Milwaukee comics. So there is a lot happening at the Tap these next few days. We're Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday. So I get Sunday off, which would be nice. But yeah, if you want more information, go to laughingtap.com for more information, tickets. Mike Stanley, only $15.
That is such a steal.
No drink minimums. Nothing to get into the open mic. Service industry night, $10. I mean, July is just a great month for y'all to come down and see shows because, you know, it's summertime. People are out doing things. So yeah, we want to give them affordable options, and we're doing that for them this weekend.
Well, you guys have air conditioning, right?
Dear sweet God, we do. Do you know what else has air conditioning?
So beat the heat there.
You know what else has air conditioning? My car now. But point is, yeah, come on down, see a show. Let's high five if we can. Because I'd love to see you down there. And, you know, just a real quick thanks to all the people who listen to this show, who have come to shows at the Tap and talked to me. It's been very nice to meet you all because it means a lot to me that you support this show and you support the Tap and that you love local things because you're awesome.
How was your performance last weekend?
Oh, my gosh. Next level.
Yeah?
Next level. It was so much fun.
Crushed it?
I would say I did really well on Friday. Saturday was a good show. It was a little, I don't know what it was about Saturday early show, but there was something about it. But I still did well. And then Saturday late, there weren't a lot of people, but it was still fun. So we had a good time. And Chastity Washington is just the best.
I need to see her live.
Yes, you do.
I do. All right. Well, this was a super fun show.
It was a blast.
It went by fast.
And now the darkness is creeping in because I think the rain is coming.
Kristen, Jane, the clouds look angry.
We need the rain.
Well, a big thank you to Greg, as always, for being here on Wednesdays. Thank you to Dick Kapinski for squeezing us in his busiest week of the year. Thank you to everyone who called in and gave their very thoughtful opinions on all the different things we talked about.
My new friend, Bill.
Bill from Econowalk. Bill and Joe might be tied today for the spiciest takes.
Love those guys.
Tomorrow, there will be no public service announcement because Kristen Lierley is traveling, but J.R. Ratcliffe will be back, so we're going to get a sports update from him, and I don't know what else we're going to talk about. I'll figure that out tonight or tomorrow.
To tune in to find out.
Yeah, this you have to come back. It'll be a surprise. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Maxing Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family.
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet.
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. As much of this country and a large part of Europe, too, deals with record or near-record high temperatures, there is a new and serious heads-up about a longer-range climate threat, but not that much longer range.
The system of currents that are vital for distributing heat northward across the North Atlantic could collapse by mid-century. That according to two Danish researchers. Their study is published in Nature Communications. Scientists earlier have said a complete collapse could lead to more extreme weather in Europe, rising sea levels in the United States, and drought in southern Africa.
Correspondent Jennifer Kuiper. Near New York's Times Square, the cabin of a huge construction crane caught fire, then parts of it came smashing down.
The sound had New Yorkers running for cover. A construction crane up in flames high above Midtown Manhattan, then partially collapsing onto the street below. Part of it fell 45 stories to the ground. Officials say the crane was lifting 16 tons of concrete when the fire started. The crane hit an elevator and all the construction workers had to run downstairs to get out. Several people were hurt, including two firefighters.
Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
So far, the Federal Reserve has threaded a needle with months of interest rate increases without significantly cooling the economy. But inflation is still too high for the Fed, so now it is raising its most important rate again to a two-decade high and gives mixed signals on what's coming next.
The government will release its first estimate of second quarter growth, and that's expected to come in at 1.5% to maybe 1.8%. In other words, for the first half of this year, no sign of recession. We still have a